We're going to study the Rambam Hilchas Tshuva, which is the last section in the book of Mada, which is the first of the 14 books of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. As usual, the Rambam opens up with an introduction that's not really part of the text. Here they call it a koteret, and he tells you what mitzvah is going to be included therein, and he defines the mitzvah. And that's the Derech HaRambam all over. So he writes the following. Hilchos Tshuva, mitzvah saseh achas. This includes no more than one mitzvah. Vehi, and what is that mitzvah? Sheyashuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvada. The Rambam defines the mitzvah in two parts. Part number one, Sheyashuv hachote micheto, which we would call tshuva in our terms. And number two, v'yisvade, and he recites vidurim. One could possibly read the Rambam in such a way that the ikar, the primary definition or element of the mitzvah, is sheyashuv hachote mecheto, and the finale, the completion, the gemara mitzvah, is v'yisvade, is the recitation of vidui. That's one way of reading the Rambam. I want to spend a few minutes just discussing the word tshuva, the etymology of the word tshuva. We are, after all, in the Aser Simea Tshuva. The word tshuva, at its root, is shuv, shin, vav, vet. And I have here a sefer by Rav Yosef Cohen, who lived not long ago. And I think he died about 15 years ago. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of one of the great kolos here in Yerushalayim, Machon Harry Fishel. And he writes that the Shoresh of Tshuva Shuv has two different meanings to it. The first meaning is Shuv Mehamakom. It means to leave a place behind. And he quotes Psukim to prove this. The second meaning of the word Shuv is Shuv El Hamakom, to go back to a place. So the first is Shuv Mehamakom, means leaving a place. The second is Shuv El Hamakom, to return to a place. And he claims that both interpretations of this root shuv are appropriate for tshuva, because tshuva contains both elements. Number one, shiva midarko hara, he leaves behind him the derech ra'a, his evil ways. He quotes a pasuk in Malachim, shuvu midarkechem harayim, the pasuk says, forsake those bad ways. But also, tshuva has a second part to it. As we read recently, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, meaning to come back. So on the one hand, shuv midarko ra, we're leaving behind us the derech ra'a. On the other hand, we're coming back to Hashem. And he claims that these two elements reflect the fundamental principle of tshuva. The first element of tshuva is azivas hachet v'charata. I desist from sin and I regret the past. That's shuv me'amakom. That's tshuva, meaning to leave the place behind. I feel very badly about the sins that I committed. I want to leave them behind me. I regret them. But then there's a second dimension to tshuva, and that's the Shiva El Hashem. He claims that the Rambam dedicates most of the seventh perek of tshuva, perek Zayin, to this concept of coming back to Hashem. I'll read to you one particular halach in the Rambam, which I think really reflects this concept. In perek Zayin, halacha Vav, the Rambam says, Gedola tshuva, how great is tshuva? Shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina. It brings a person close to Shechina. So here we're not talking about shiva me'amakom, but shuv lamakom. Man in his natural state before sin stands close to Hashem, aneshama shenasata b'tahorahi, but through sin, man has distanced himself from the Shechina. Now through tshuva, he comes back to be close to the Shechina. And the Rambam quotes the pasuk Shenemar, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, that shuva coming close to Hashem. And then getting back to this Sefer HaTshuva that I mentioned to you before from Rav Cohen, he quotes the Beis Elokim of the Mabit, who lived about 5+ centuries ago. And the Beis Elokim says, Chakarnu al Geder HaTshuva. We did a real fundamental investigation into the definition of tshuva. Umitzanuo, and what we found is, Kravel Hashem mirichuk Hashem, to come back to Hashem from being far away from Him. So we see that in this particular quote of the Mabit, the emphasis is on shuv el amakom, which means to come close to the Shechina and come back to Hashem. Elsewhere, the Mabit says that shuva means, and I quote, Milas tshuva moral aziva sachet, sheshov mimasha yaosad ato vi ozev drach of haroim. So in the second comment of the Beis Elokim of the Mabit, he speaks about tshuva, which means that from an etymological perspective, to leave the derech hara behind. Both elements integrate to form tshuva. Tshuva has the sur meira, and tshuva has the aseh tov, coming close to Hashem. And I was thinking that perhaps if we define tshuva fundamentally as coming closer to Hashem, then we might explain how tshuva works after the geula. The Mashiach will come, and if you'll take a look in Parshas HaZinu, especially in the Ramban's commentary therein, you will see that after Veshav Hashem V'kibetzcha, after the ultimate redemption, we will be involved in tshuva. And the question is obvious, because we paskin that the geula will come about after tshuva. So it means that there's a double tshuva. There's tshuva before the geula, before the Mashiach, and then there's tshuva after the geula, after Mashiach. But the problem with that is that the Ramban says that our freedom of choice will radically change after the geula. Meaning that now we have a temptation to do evil, Pesach Chatos Rovetz, from early on we have Yetzer Hara, and we are always involved in that battle between the two forces of the Yetzer Hara, the one and the Yetzer Tov and the other. And after the Gula, once Mashiach will come, says the Ramban, we go back to what we were like before Chet, that means Adar Rishon Kodem L'Chet, in which case all our decisions are made with our mind, we have no temptations of the heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Umaltem is God will remove the covering over the heart, and we'll have a natural desire, a gravitational pull to do good. So why is it necessary to have tshuva after the geula? And I believe in this statement of the Mabit, perhaps we can find an answer, because since the Mabit identifies tshuva as coming close to Hashem with the Ram that we saw in Perek Zayin Vilchus Tshuva, then even after the Geula, what we want to do is put all our energies, activate our whole selves, and throw ourselves towards coming close to Hashem. So tshuva is not just aziva sachet, tshuva is kiruv hiskarvus el Hashem. But let's return to the Rambam and talk about this definition of mitzvah saseh achas, sheyoshev hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvade, that there are two parts to the mitzvah of tshuva. Number one, leaving his sins behind, sheyoshev achote mechotel, and then he has vidui. Well, let's read the Rambam in the Pnim, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Kol mitzvah shebator bein esei bein losase im avar odom al achas miyem bein bezodon bein bishkoga kishayase tshuva v'yoshev mecheto. When he does tshuva, says the Rambam, chayev lisvados lifnei akel baruch hu. And we'll soon see how the Rambam proves this from a pasuk in Parshas Noso. But the bottom line is, the Rambam in the Pnim defines the mitzvah of tshuva as vidui. The chiyuv is the chiyuv vidui. We had the impression when we read the introduction of the Rambam, what we call the Koteret, that on the contrary, vidui is secondary. That's not the prime element of tshuva. But here in the Pnim, the Rambam identifies tshuva with vidui. And all the Mefarshim of the Rambam are baffled by this contradiction, or at least apparent contradiction, between the two definitions that the Rambam offers here to the mitzvah of tshuva. What is the mitzvah of tshuva? Here the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Kishayase tshuva v'yoshev micheto, chayav lisvados lifnei akel baruch hu. As if to say that the mitzvah of the chiyuv is only vidui. But how could that be? I mean, is it possible that the Rambam maintains that there's no mitzvah of tshuva? Is tshuva, according to the Rambam, an option? And is real no obligation to do tshuva? That would be very difficult. After all, the pasuk says in Parshas Nitzavim, V'shavtel Hashem Elokecha, the Ramban says that this is a mitzvah saseh, counting the taryag. The Rambam has already defined the mitzvah of tshuva and he counts it in the minyan mitzvahs. In fact, if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, and that's in mitzvah saseh, ayin gimel, the Rambam defines the mitzvah of tshuva as one of the taryag mitzvahs. So what does he mean, kishayase tshuva? If, so to speak, he decides to do tshuva, then he's obligated in the mitzvah of what? Of vidui. Very difficult. So I just want to share with you one idea. Again, there are many different approaches to how to reconcile this contradiction. But one idea that I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, he said in general that when you take a look at the Rambam's definition in his introduction to any set of halachos, the Rambam offers the broadest definition. And that definition includes the element of kiyum shebelev, the emotional element, the internal experience of a person. When the Rambam goes into the pnim, into the codes themselves, and tells you what are the rules and regulations, what are the obligations therein, the Rambam only speaks about the maisa hamitzvah. He identifies the objective mitzvah act. And the Rav went on to say that the mitzvah of tshuva has two parts to it. It has an internal part, what we call a kiyum shebelev, an emotional inner moment or experience, and that's called sheyoshuv hachote mecheto, and that's called yase tshuva. That's all intellectual and emotional. It's not objective. It doesn't express itself in a maisa mitzvah. But how does the Torah envision achieving the goal of the kiyum shebelev? Is it sufficient just to feel tshuva? No. The Torah requires that you objectify it in a maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah of tshuva is vidui. So these two parts of the mitzvah of tshuva are reflected in the words of the Rambam in his Koteret, in his introduction. He speaks about the global, all-encompassing mitzvah of tshuva, sheyoshev achote micheto, which is the emotional kiyum shebelev of tshuva, that's the essence of tshuva, and then v'yisvadeh, he defines the maisa mitzvah. When he gets to the pnim, when he gets to the halachos, here the Rambam focuses all his attention on the Maisa Mitzvah itself. The Maisa Mitzvah is Vidui. And Rabosa, I leave this to your judgment. You're the jury. You have to decide if you buy into this reading of the Rambam. It's a little bit pushing because the Rambam says, Kishiyase tshuva v'yoshev v'cheto chayv l'svados. It sounds like the Rambam is offering you an option to do tshuva rather than an obligation. But as I said, that's a very difficult position to accept. It's possible. It's feasible. The Minchas Chinuch would go that way. And the Pasuk v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha is only avtocha that b'achris hayomim we will do tshuva then Hashem v'kibetzcha. It's not an obligation. It's not a mandate against the Ramban. But that's a very tenuous position at the least. The Rambam dedicates 10 chapters to the mitzvah of tshuva. And most of what he's going to discuss here when he outlines the requirements and the standards and regulations of tshuva are all the inner moment, the experience of tshuva. The discussion about vidui, I would say, is limited to the first perek, where the Rambam speaks about the vidui that has to accompany, number one, tshuva, number two, Yom HaKippurim, number three, Mises Bezdin, or a natural death if he's able to recite vidui, Malkus in the case where Bezdin gives him Malkus, and if he returns the money that he, you know, that he caused an injury or damage to someone else, again vidui. Here's where the Rambam dedicates himself to vidui, but when you go out into the Hilchas Tshuva Begadol, as we'd say, then there's very little about vidui. In Perek Beis, he has a discussion about the minhag of Klal Yisrael regarding vidui on Yom HaKippurim, which I'd love to talk to you about. Let me ask a different question. What does the Rambam mean when he says, Kishayase tshuva v'yoshuv micheto? It sounds like a redundancy. But yet, the Rambam has two parts. He's got A, Kishayase tshuva, and B, he's got Kishayoshuv micheto. What is the difference between the two? And I was bothered by this. It took me a long time, I would say even years, till I found something that addressed this. And I found it in a Sefer Harei Kedem from Rav Michal Shurkin, quoting Rav Soloveitchik Arim. And he writes the following. This is on page Ayin Vav. Let me read to you the most relevant line in this essay as far as our question is concerned. He says the following. Kishayase tshuva v'yoshuv micheto, shnei chalokim yesh b'tshuva, there are two parts to tshuva. Hamaisa tshuva shal charata uvidui, v'chol derech ha-tshuva, zeu kishayase tshuva. V'yesh od chelik shal tshuva yoshuv micheto, heino azivas ha-chet. So the Maisa Tshuva, which entails a long and intricate emotional experience of feeling regret and remorse about the past and making a resolution on the future and reciting vidui, all that becomes the Maisa Tshuva. That's what the Rambam says, Kishayase Tshuva. But Yashuv Mecheto means that he leaves the sin behind. He will desist and overcome any temptation to fall prey to the Yetzer Hara, to the evil inclination, and again, sin. On the one hand, I'm excited that Yashuv Micheto is, in a sense, a Pe'ula, Yashuv Micheto. And that means the Maisa Tshuva. If you want to describe the person, in the case of Yashuv Micheto, he would be the Shav. And then we speak about the Yoshuv. So that's Kishayase Tshuva. That's the Pa'ula, as we said before. The Shav is the person who did the Pa'ula. And then the Yoshuv Micheto is Aziva Sachet. It means to leave the sin behind. What bothers me is the Seder Advarim, the sequence in the Rambam, is a little bit odd to me, because he begins with Kshayaseh Tshuva and then V'yoshuv Mecheto. One would have thought that Kshayaseh Mecheto should come first, you know, stop sinning, Aziva Sachet, and then go through the painstaking step-by-step process and the profound Maaseh Tshuva of Charot Al HaOvar, V'yisnachem, V'yivosh, he has to have busha on what he did in the past, and then he's going to recite the Vidui. I would think that the kickoff, the first level, or the first beginning point of tshuva, the process, would be Yashuv Mecheto, when he leaves the chet behind. Aziva Sachet. And if the Rav is correct about how to read the Rambam, it opens up a fantastic question here. Is it possible that the halacha recognizes the significance of a Maaseh Tshuva without Aziva Sachet? Is it meaningful to undergo the entire Maaseh Tshuva and say, I regret the past, I wish I hadn't done it, and yet I have to admit that I'm not ready for a resolution, that henceforth for the rest of my life I'll be able to overcome the temptation? Would there be any significance, what we call a kiyum mitzvah, at least in part, of kishayaseh tshuva, the asiyas maaseh tshuva, without yoshuv mecheto, without leaving, as we said, shuv miloshon, leaving behind aziva sachet? And what I'd like to refer you to is the Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchas Tshuva, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, "Kol Misvada B'Dvarim V'Lo Gomar B'Libo Lazov Hareze Dome L'Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodo She'en HaTfila Mo'eles Ad She'yashlich HaSheretz." The Rambam says that there's something called a Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodo. Now, the concept of a Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yodo means that there was some significance to the tefillah. He did a tefillah. The problem is that he's got Sheretz B'Yodo. What I'm suggesting here is that maybe according to the Rav, when we want to ask the question, what does it mean that he's a Tovel, when the Rambam says he recited Vidui, but Lo Gomar B'Libo Lazov, he doesn't have a solid, shall I say, absolute resolution on the future not to sin again and repeat his sin. And the answer is that maybe he does the Maaseh Tshuva without the Yoshuv Mecheto, without the Aziva Sachet. And the Maaseh Tshuva itself, says the Rambam, is an act of tefillah. It's already, you know, he's well on the way to doing a full tshuva. The problem is he's got the Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodo. Sheretz B'Yodo means he hasn't made that resolution. He realizes and he admits he doesn't yet have the ability to overcome temptation. It's almost like a person who's addicted and he goes through real serious self-searching, introspection and anguish. He wishes only that he could stop this, cut off his addiction, but yet if he's bold enough to admit it, he's not yet ready for that. That's going to be a lifelong process. Says the Rambam, you might think that his tshuva will achieve its goal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant him kapara kamash. No. It's tefillah, but he's got the sheretz b'yodo. As long as he's still holding on to the sheretz, as long as he hasn't yet made that commitment of a full-fledged aziva sachet, the Rambam holds it's still sheretz b'yodo, and therefore his tshuva is not mechaper olav. Again, he may be on the way to do tshuva. We have to recommend and applaud what he did until this point, but he's not yet ready for tshuva. Okay. I just wanted to take a minute to pause and ask if there are any questions up to this point. Okay. Again, if anyone wants to open up, you know, turn on their microphone and ask me any questions, or alternatively, to write me a little chat message, that's really fine. Let's define vidui now. Whether vidui is the gemar tshuva, it's the clincher at the end of the process, or whether vidui is the mitzvah of tshuva itself. What is vidui? And the Rambam defines vidui. He bases vidui on a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Hey, Ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam limol mal b'ashem v'yashema v'yoshma ha'nefesh ahi v'svadu es chatosam asher osu. And the Sifri comments ze vidui dvar uvidui ze mitzvah saseh. Again, keep in mind, the Rambam doesn't say tshuva ze mitzvah saseh, he says vidui ze mitzvah saseh. Well, perhaps, again, according to the Rav, Zu Maisa Mitzvah Saseh, but the Kiyu Mitzvah Saseh is a Tshuva Shebelin. Ketzad Misvad. So before we get to Ketzad Misvad, I want to point out something that I found in Rav Cohen's Sefer HaTshuva. The Rambam says that Vidui is Lifnei Hakel Baruch Hu. Again, you know, I don't think the Rambam has in mind any, you know, Lafuke, some other religions, you know, where you go into a, a little box and you recite your confession. Why is the Rambam emphasize Lifnei Akel Baruch Hu? I mean, in front of whom is he reciting Vidui? So I found something interesting in Rav Cohen's book on page Nun Dalet, and he writes the following. He says that the Rambam is trying to emphasize that vidui has to be lifnei akel. When a person speaks to himself and there's no one around, it looks kind of strange, won't you admit it? So when a person speaks out the vidui, he asks himself, what am I, nuts? Who am I speaking to? Yachshov sheyes kenegdo im mishu medaber. He's going to think that there's someone in front of him and he's speaking with that someone. Umiyad yachshov belibo shemisha omid kenegdu Hashem yisbarach. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's right there confronting him in close proximity. Vidafka, he says, only kshumotzi b'svasov umargishu omid lifnei Hashem, that's when he can feel a sense of charata and busha and hachna and have a sincere tshuva experience. So it's critical, says the Rambam, according to this interpretation, in the context of vidui, to make that vidui meaningful as a maisa tshuva, to feel I am standing in front of Hakel Baruch Hu. There's a close proximity. I'm intimately encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this reminds me of tefillah, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah that what is tefillah? Amida lifnei Hashem. In a certain sense, there's a commonality between tshuva and tefillah. Both cases entail some sort of a dialogue, if you will, between man and HaKadosh Baruch. In the case of tefillah, man initiates this dialogue to ask Hashem, etc. In the case of tshuva, in the case of vidui, man initiates a dialogue in which he asks Hashem to listen to his vidui. He, as a misvada, feels the closeness of keneged Hashem, and therefore the Rambam emphasizes lifnei hakel baruch hu. But perhaps we could go even a step further than Rav Cohen's pshat in the Sefer HaTshuv, because take a look at the Rambam ketzad misvada. Omer on Hashem. The opening two words of vidui, according to the Rambam, are on Hashem. Now the word ana, I understand. Ana means please. You know, if a poor person is knocking on your door, he wants to ask you for an adava, ana. You know, he begs, please, open up for me. Give me an audience. Who is man to stand in front of Hashem and ask for an audience? Ana. He's got to say it with a plea, with a petition. That's the hachna that introduces the act of and the recitation of Vidui. But then Hashem, he mentions the holy name of God. And the Kesef Mishnah says, and other Mepharshim, this is based on a Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin, and the Rambam extrapolated from that Gemara that every Vidui has to be with the enunciation of the Shem Hashem. What does the Gemara itself address? The case of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. His Vidui required enunciating the Shem Hashem. And it's fascinating that the Rambam understood that that's not a special halach in Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, who's in charge of the Vidui on the Sora Mishtalech on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, but that is a universal halacha that defines the very essence of Vidui whenever a person fulfills his obligation of Vidui. It's got to be with the name of Hashem. Why the name of Hashem? But the answer, I believe, Rabosai, is in Perek Beis Milchus Tshuva. The Rambam says that his resolution on the future is so powerful that Yoid Olav Yodea Talumos Sheli Olam Eino Choser L'Dover Zeh. How could the Yodea Talumos be so sure? Obviously God knows the future, he has an infinite wisdom, but that the tshuva process is so profound that he will not repeat that sin. I mean, that's setting the bar very high for tshuva. The answer, I believe, is because the Shav in his Vidui invokes the name of Hashem. And where do we find the halach of invoking the name of Hashem other than Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim? We find it in the halach of Shvua. A Shvua is a Shvua B'Shem. When a person takes an oath and he introduces his enunciation of the oath by mentioning the name of Hashem, that oath is absolutely binding, not just halachically, but emotionally as well. The individual who took the oath and invoked the name of Hashem is absolutely committed to observe and fulfill that shvua. And so too, in the case of Vidui, if we invoke the name of Hashem, which means that man is standing basically face to face with Kaviyachol, that's a commitment with a shvua. And li'olam ein chozer l'dover zeh. That solidifies his commitment, his resolution. It makes it so powerful that yoyed olav yodea talumos. Ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lufanecha v'asisi kach v'kach v'reini chamti uboshti b'masai Uli olam eini chozer l'dover zeh. The Kesef Mishnah points out that the Rambam, again building on the Vidui, the Kohen Gadol, uses the three classifications of sin, chet, avon, and pesha, just as the Kohen Gadol did in the Beis HaMikdash back in the day. And the question is obvious. The Kohen Gadol is reciting Vidui on behalf of Klal Yisrael. When you look at the entire gamut of Klal Yisrael that covers all classes of sins, whether it's chet, avon, or pesha, chet is b'shogeg, with an element of negligence, but it was not intentional. Avon is mazid, is intentional, until we get to the most severe chet, which is pesha, and that's mered, that's when a person rebels against God, chas v'shalom. But in the case of a yachid, the Rambam is not addressing the Kohen Gadol, he's talking to you and me, when we are obligated to do tshuva because we violated chas v'shalom an essay or lo saseh. We know the nature of asin. Why is the standard nusach avidui, chet, avon, and pesha, all three? The Rambam should say chatasi, or avisi, or pashati, one of the three. Classify your sin. And I heard once from my father, Zichron Levracha, and I'm not sure who he heard it from. I think he quoted Rav Soloveitchik, I'm not sure, that sometimes a person himself is unaware of the nature of his sin. If you ask him, you tap on the shoulder, he may classify his criminal acts as shogeg. It was unintentional, when really it was mazed. At the end of the day, he made the decision. There may have been situations where a person sinned, been mazed, but in truth it's a shogeg. He made a deliberate decision, but it's a shogeg. It's not a mazed. I remember the history of Jews who came to the shores of America back 100 years ago, back in the 1910s, the 1920s, and they eked out a living. They hardly spoke the language. They worked in sweatshops. And more often than not, the sign said, if you don't come in Saturday, don't come in Sunday. So some Jews were able to do it. A handful of Jews were able to come in on Sunday knowing they're going to get fired on Friday and they don't know where the next job is going to come from. And there were Jews who were found like homeless, you know, in the park because they had no work and they had no food, no income. But many Jews unfortunately fell prey. They had no way of control, of overcoming the temptation, and they violated the Shabbos. Such a Jew who does tshuva, how would you classify his sin? It's certainly not pashati, but is it chatasi? Is it a shogeg? Well, no. L'chor, it's avisi, it's amazing. He made the decision to violate the Shabbos, but why did he do so? Did he have much choice in the matter? And perhaps for such a person, the appropriate classification of the sin would be chatasi and not avisi. And what about the case of a person who thinks that he killed someone b'shogeg, when really he was guilty of what we call today in modern law manslaughter? I mean, a man doesn't check before he uses a very dangerous instrument, or today it's probably common amongst automobiles. Somebody should write an entire book about driving al pi halacha. Forget about dina d'malchus d'dina. But talk about Shmarta Miyos Nafshel Seichem. And you talk about endangering the lives of others. And I'm not even talking about drunken driving, lo aleinu. But just people get so pressured. And we all have to do tshuva for those kinds of things. And I'm not sure if it's a chet. To some extent, it might even be called an oven. In the Gemara in Makkos, with regard to Golus for Rotzeach B'Shogeg, there's something called Shogeg Karav L'Mezid. And a Shogeg Karav L'Mezid cannot avail himself of the protection of the Yer Miklat. He's going to spend his life as a fugitive exposed to the danger of the Gol Adam, because the Gol Adam takes revenge and kills him Ein Lo Damin. The Gol Adam will not be prosecuted for murder. That's Karav L'Mezid. And then the Rambam continues. And he says, "Vasisi kach v'kach." That's what's called pirut hachet. The vidui, in order to clinch a kapara on the sin, has to include a specific mention of the sin. Varinichamti uboshti b'masai. And all the elements of the ma'isa tshuva have to be verbalized, objectified in the formulation of vidui. It's got to include nechama, boshes, and a sense of charata and busha. And then finally, the last element in the ma'isa tshuva, which is kabbalah aliyasid li'olam eini chozer l'davar zeh. Then the Rambam says, zehu ikro shel vidui. That's the fundamental requirement of vidui. But kol amarbe lehisvados umarech binyin zeh harezeh meshuvach. A person is encouraged to intensify and enhance his vidui, go beyond the strict, minimal, objective formulation of vidui, and add his own. Think, contemplate, why, what did I do, what caused the sin, how can I avoid the sin in the future, how embarrassed I am, and humiliated, and he should speak this all out verbally. This is ribui vidui, and it enhances his kiyum vidui. But my friends, at this point, I want to raise what I consider a fundamental question about the Rambam. The Rambam, in Perek Beis, Mehilchas Tshuva Halacha Ches, gives you an entirely different picture of vidui. The Rambam says, HaVidui Shenagu Bo Kol Yisrael Avol Chatanu. Or some have the Gir Saval Anachnu, Vavoseinu chatanu. Vehu ikar avidui. What do you mean, hu ikar avidui? The Rambam just opened up Hilchas Tshuva and told us that ikar avidui is ana Hashem. You have to mention the name of Hashem. Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, Nichamti, Boshti, Vemasai. Li Olam Eini Chozel, Dover Zeh. I mean, what's going on? Amol Chatanu. Two words and that's it? And here I want to share with you a brilliant Chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik. And he says that there's a fundamental difference between Perek Aleph and the Vidui therein, and Perek Beis. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, says, Yom HaKippurim, Huzman Tshuva Lakol. Yom HaKippurim is the day of Tshuva, the time of Tshuva for everyone. Liyochid, Lerabim. Vuketz, it's the epitome of Mechila Uslicha LiYisrael. Lefichach, Chayovim HaKol. Lasos tshuva ulisvados biyom HaKippurim. In other words, the Rambam says that Yom HaKippurim is machayev tshuva and vidui unto itself. Forget about the mitzvah of tshuva that the Rambam derives at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva from the pasuk in Parshas Noso. Ish, O Isha, Kiyasu, Mikol, Chatos, Adam, etc. Visvadu es Chatosom. No! The Rambam says that Yom HaKippurim engenders a Chiyu Vidui. It's the Kate, Slicho, Mechila, and Chayom, Makol, Lassus, Chuvo, Lisvados. And the Rambam goes on to say that Mitzvah's Vidui of Yom Kippur begins, May Erev Hayom, Kodem Sheyochal. And then the Rambam says, Chozer misvad belel Yom Kippur, Arvis, Chol misvad shachris, Musaf, Mincho ne'ilah. Over and over again, continuously during the day of Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam says he's reciting Vidui. And then the Rambam says, HaVidui shenogu kol Yisrael, Aval chatanu v'hu ikar HaVidui. Says the Rav, there are two different mitzvahs going on over here. There's the mitzvah of tshuva, and the mitzvah of tshuva requires a complete seder tshuva. The ma'aseh tshuva is very complex with many different elements to it, as we discussed. And then there's a separate halacha of Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is a different kind of chiyuv, a different kind of mitzvah. True, on Yom HaKippurim, he has, let me say it a little differently. True that the universal mitzvah of tshuva that the Rambam defines in Perek Aleph applies every day of the year. But Yom HaKippurim emerges as a separate machayev with regard to vidui. And the Rav says that the tshuva and vidui that were required to implement on Yom HaKippurim is not the same as the tshuva and vidui of Perek Aleph Milchus tshuva. They are two different entities. And I'd like to read to you just a few lines from what the Rav says. Yesh din vidui miyuchad v'yom HaKippurim, ha'vidui sh'yom HaKippurim, hu chiyuv b'fnei atzmo, ha'miyuchad v'yom HaKippurim. And that's why the Rambam requires that we recite vidui over and over and again throughout Yom HaKippurim. Every moment of Yom HaKippurim is a mechaper. And insofar as Yom HaKippurim is a continuous mechaper, that mechaper must be accompanied by vidui. This is not the vidui of the Ma'isa Tshuva, which objectifies all the different elements of the experience of the what we call the Kiyum Shebaleva, the Ma'isa Tshuva, the Seder Tshuva. No, this is the vidui of a mechaper. When man encounters a koach ha-mechaper, a chalos mechaper, he accompanies that mechaper with vidui. And that vidui is a simple and very basic, limited kind of a vidui. But since every moment of Yom HaKippurim is mechaper, really, in truth, I have to continuously recite vidui every single moment. Chazal made a takana that we recite vidui in each tefillah, five times during the course of Yom HaKippurim. And of course, you have to add Chazor Sashatz as well. And that's as if, that's nechshav, ki'ilu, he recited vidui constantly. The Rav's language is b'chol makom sheyesh kapara uslicha yesh din shel vidui yachad im hakapara uvidui shel yom hakippurim eino mikra disvadu es chatos v'shel chata shehu midini tshuva. But rather the special mitzvah of B'yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem, because there's a Mechaper. And if that be the case, we understand very well why the Rambam says that sins that you already recited Viduyon last Yom Kippur, you should again repeat the Viduyon this Yom Kippur. Because we're not talking about the Viduy of Tshuva. The Viduy of Tshuva, the process of Tshuva, you already fulfilled a year ago. From the perspective of Tshuva and Viduy, the sin was wiped off. There's no need for him to repeat it this Yom Kippur. But within the special, the context of the special mitzvah of Viduy on Yom Kippur, there's a separate halacha to recite Viduy again and again each year on the same sins. I want to take, the Rambam says that even on a mitzvah bein adam lechavero, a person needs kapara with vidui. And it's fascinating that the Rambam gives two examples of an avera bein adam lechavero which requires tshuva and vidui. The first example is chovel b'chavero, he physically assaults his friend, injures his body. Oh, hamazik mamono, he destroys someone's possession, someone's property. In both cases, the Rambam says that the process of being mechaper begins with compensation. He has to pay him for his loss, his damage. But then the Rambam says that's not enough. Eino miskaperlo ad sheyisvade v'yoshuv milasos kozeliolon shenemar mikol chatos od. So the Rambam requires vidui, as if to say that an offense against your fellow man is also an offense against Hashem, and you have to recite vidui to remove the bein adam l'makom dimension of every avera bein adam l'chavero. And number two, v'yoshuv milasos kozeliolon. I don't know why the Rambam switches the order here. If you remember earlier at the beginning of the halacha, he says, Kishiyase tshuva v'yoshuv micheto. And then he has vidui. Here he's got vidui, and then after the vidui he says, Yoshuv milasos kazeh liol. But I wanted to ask a different question, and all the mepharshim raised this question. The Rambam's second example is mazik mamono. He destroys his friend's mama. And the Rambam says he requires vidui and tshuva. It's not enough that he compensates his friend. He still does not achieve kapara. The Rambam, in Hilchas Chovel Umazik, Perek Hei Halacha Tes, the Rambam writes, Kevon Sheshilem Lo, if a person is mazik, his friend's mamon, and he paid him back, miskaper lo, he achieves kapara. The Rambam doesn't whisper a word, not about vidui, and not about tshuva. And the Rambam in Hilchas Chovel Umazik guarantees kapara with compensation. Once he compensates his friend for the financial loss, that's all he has to do. No more is necessary. And he does not require any sort of vidui and kapara. Now, if you take a look at the Rambam at the end of Halacha Beis, the Rambam at the end of Perek Beis, I meant to say, the Rambam says that with regard to Haveros Bein Adam L'Chavero is Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, this Halacha Tes. And what does he need? He says Haveros Bein Adam L'Chavero, and he gives three examples. He needs ritzui. And the Rambam is very outspoken about that. He's got to be meratzeh his friend and recreate the friendship. He's got to ask him for mechila. Otherwise, he has no kapara. And let's look at the Rambam's three examples of an avera beinon lechavero. Number one, he's got chovel lechavero. Number two, he has Makalel es Chavero. And number three, he has Gozel, when he steals his friend's possessions. In all those cases, there's no kapara unless, in addition to replacing and paying him compensation, he asks for Mechila and he obtains Ritzvi. Now, in Hilchas Chosef Kol Mazik, as we saw in Perikei, the Rambam says that if he's Mazik Momon Chavero, then he doesn't have to ask for Mechila, he has Kapara by paying him back. Here, in the case of Gozel, which is the third of the examples the Rambam gives, he doesn't achieve Kapara until he asks Mechila. What's the difference between Mazik Mamon Shal Chavero, which doesn't require Bakosh Mechila, just simply compensation, and Gozel Mamon Shal Chavero, where compensation is not sufficient? Anybody wanted to try to answer that? Yeah, speak a drop louder.
Is it possible that Gozer was against God too?
Yes, for sure. Because every Avera Bein Onam L'Chavero is also by definition an Avera Bein Onam L'Mokom. Every offense against the human being is a violation of a Torah law. And therefore, as the Rambam said in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Milchus Tshuva, paying back is not sufficient, he's got to recite Vidui, and he's got to do tshuva, liolam ein achozel adover zeh. But my question is, does he need bakoshes mechila? And here the Rambam makes a distinction between gzela on the one hand, which requires bakoshes mechila and ritzui, and mazik momon shel chavero, where he destroys, he damages his friend's property. Here the Rambam says, just compensate your friend, and there's no need to ask him for mechila. But Rabosai, we do have to add one important point here. And that is, what is gzela?
On purpose.
It's on purpose, but what else? How is gzela different than gneva? In gneva, he comes in stealthily. What happens with gzela, on the other hand?
He's not afraid of God. That's a Russian.
Correct, correct. Yes, Chaim is right. It's, you know, gzela is bold, but how does that impact on the nature of the avera and require bakoshes mechila?
Well,
Chaim, can you speak a drop louder? I'm sorry. What do you say, Chaim? Let me tell you this. The Rambam defines gzela as vayigzol esachanis miyad hamitzri. There's a frontal confrontation between the gazlon and the nigzal. He literally takes away his possessions. And that, I think, engenders a certain kind of tsar when he affronts his friend, you know, face to face. In other words, in the case of Mazik Mamon Shel Chavero, again, that's an Avera, and it requires Tshuva, and it requires Vidui, and for sure he has to compensate his friend in the whole nine yards, but it doesn't require Bakoshes Mechila. He can achieve a Kapara without Mechila because he's compensated his friend. That's the Rambam Shita with regard to Mazik Mamon Shel Chavero in Hilchos Chovel Mazik. In Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam says, but Gozel Mechavero, that's a very powerful, emotional, fearful experience when a person is accosted face to face, frontally, and the money is stolen from him. In such a case, the Rambam says, the tsar, the anguish that the gazlan caused the nigzal is substantial enough to require an absolute, indispensable tnai in order to achieve mechila and kapara. He's got to ask for mechila. And if he doesn't ask for mechila, he will not achieve kapara.